Welcome to Founder's Journey. I am Josh Pickford, founder of Baremetrics, and this is a podcast about startups and building things and for founders and journeys and things and stuff. So this is actually attempt number two to record this podcast. It turns out recording a podcast with the microphone off isn't terribly fruitful. Or I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe listening to me is a really bad idea, which I could see that. So we're going to try this again, and I'm going to try to say words again, and hopefully it, you know, it records them and stuff. This week, we're going to talk about common mistakes that founders make, and we'll try to address some of those. So let's jump in. So bless our little founder hearts. We are eternal optimists who have great intentions paired with a propensity to try things that common sense would say is a bad idea. That means that we try a lot of things, most of which don't pan out, but it's the things that do pan out that keep us motivated. Having talked to and seen the businesses of thousands of entrepreneurs, there are a few mistakes that I've seen crop up regularly. You should always keep trying things that likely won't pan out, but at least you can increase the chances that some of them will. So first up, building solutions in search of a problem. So as part of the eternal optimism that I mentioned, we tend to think just about every idea that we have is great. An idea pops into our head of some cool thing to build, and we instantly assume that, of course, there's a market for it. And we build our solution based on the assumption that there's an actual problem somewhere. It's a solution in search of a problem. Go check out Product Hunt on any day of the week, and 99% of the stuff you see is this exact thing. Product Hunt is a directory of solutions in search of problems. So focus on identifying problems, and from there you'll know what solutions actually need to be built. If the thing you're building doesn't save time, save money, or create revenue, then there's likely no problem in need of a solution. Speaking of Product Hunt, next up, if your entire customer acquisition plan at the start is just get on Product Hunt, and you can replace Product Hunt with whatever popular site, person, publication you want, you're in for a bucket of ice water on your head. Even if you do manage to get some significant traffic from that source, it'll be a flash in the pan. And you've got a years-long slog ahead of you, and your product isn't going to sell itself. Focus on sustainable and repeatable acquisition channels, and you'll win big in the long run. So next up is chasing the competition. Seems every week there's some sort of new tool to monitor the competition, but here's a secret for you. The competition does not matter. If you're genuinely building something that is solving a problem for your customers, the only people you should care about are your customers. Give yourself some credit here. You're uniquely equipped to solve the problems your customers have, and that's why they're paying you. Focus on solving the problems of the customers you have or the customers you want to have, and what your competition is doing is really at the bottom of the list of things that you should care about. You have different customers. You're solving problems in different ways. Next up is building internal tools. Oh, man. I'm trying not to get on a soapbox here. When you're just getting started and you're strapped for cash, you typically do all sorts of things to pinch pennies. It's just part of surviving. And it's a healthy thing to do when you're not actually making any money. The danger, however, is keeping that mindset after you've got a steady stream of cash flowing. Startups waste inordinate amounts of time building these little internal tools just because they can. The value of time is grossly undervalued, and the amount of time any given thing takes to build is grossly underestimated. There are very few things that are worth building internally when an external tool will get you 80% of the way there. Now, if you're on the fence here, we actually built this calculator, a build versus buy calculator, so you can test out some numbers yourself. It's at baremetrics.com/calculator. Next up, waiting too long to monetize. So I got an email last week from this B2B startup saying they were coming out of their, quote, two-year free beta and would be launching pro plans soon. What on earth have they been doing for the past 2 years? Maybe they've been propped up on 12 rounds of VC funding, but my friends, this is categorically the worst idea anyone on the planet has ever had. Waiting basically any amount of time to charge for your product is just delaying the inevitable. Most people do this in the name of getting feedback quickly, but the feedback they're getting is worthless. Feedback from users who aren't paying you is like asking for feedback on this new quadruple stack burger from a vegetarian. It doesn't matter what they think. They're not buying. You aren't a charity. You're running a business. If people won't give you money for your product, you have an existential crisis on your hands. The longer you wait to find out, the worse it's going to hurt. So charge something from day one. Next is waiting too long to delegate. Most founders are some sort of jack of all trades. With Baremetrics, for the first 6 months, I did 100% of the work. Design, development, marketing, support, the whole bag. And that was a mistake. I waited far too long to make my first hire. So hone in on the things that you're really great at and then hire out the rest as soon as it financially makes sense. One particular role that I think most startups wait too long to hire for is an office manager. So Mark Sister actually thinks this is a key hire. He's a VC. He's written this great article on hiring office managers. And I agree. Having an office manager / company-wide assistant frees up you and your team to get out of the minutiae and focus on the things that you are all uniquely qualified to do that makes an actual dent in the growth of your company. Next up, not talking to customers. I'm always surprised at how scared founders are to get on the dang phone and talk to customers. I don't care how introverted you are or if you aren't great at carrying on a conversation, get over it and have a chat with another human. I try to schedule a call with every new Baremetrics customer as well as check in once or twice a year. And the feedback that you get from exchanging audible words will change your product and how you run your business because doing those calls gets you a level of honesty that in email exchanges kind of gets distilled away. So stop what you're doing, stop listening, reading, whatever, and go email 10 customers right now and schedule a phone call. Next, faking progress with busy work. Deep in the minds of most founders is a fear of rejection. Heck, maybe it's not even all that deep in your mind. Maybe it's at the forefront and keeps you up at night. That's normal. It's what you do to fix it that matters, though. What happens time and time again is we trick ourselves into thinking that random pet project or networking event or conference or Twitter exchange is real, actual, tangible, needle-moving work. And it's not work. It's procrastination masked as work. Real business progress happens with saying no to things, not yes. What you choose to reject defines your growth. I found having a solid routine and organizational system in place helps me avoid doing dumb things that don't matter. In this case, I use OmniFocus to do that stuff and kind of organize and prioritize what's most important. Next is charging too little. So how much did you spend on coffee this morning? Probably, I don't know, $4 to $7. What did that fast food meal cost you? Anywhere from, probably about $5, $6, $7. How much did that season of The Walking Dead set you back? Like $20. Entrepreneurs spend hundreds of dollars a month on completely inconsequential things, yet are afraid to charge $20 for their product that creates thousands of dollars in value for other businesses. If you're solving real, actual business problems, there's no reason you can't charge hundreds or thousands of dollars a month for it. And what'll surprise you even more is that those customers who are paying you a lot more are actually universally more pleasant human beings. Some of your worst and most demanding customers will be the ones paying you $5 a month, or even worse, the ones who aren't paying you anything on your free plan that you shouldn't have. Instead of dealing with them, charge more, a whole heck of a lot more. You will almost certainly prefer having $1,100 a month customers than $10,000 a month customers. And last up here is waiting to launch the quote-unquote perfect product. Our LinkedIn overlord, Reid Hoffman, hits the nail on the head, says if you are not embarrassed by the first version of your product, you've launched too late. There are graveyards full of startups that flopped before they even launched, all because they had the flawed idea that they needed to wait until things were perfect. There's no such thing as perfect software. The longer you wait to launch your product or feature, the more assumptions you have to make. And incorrect assumptions are what kills business. The first version of Baremetrics was launched in barely a week of development. It was a hot mess of basic metrics that gave you very little insight and didn't even work half the time, but it got us thousands in revenue and gave us the feedback that we needed to work towards what more of our customers wanted, allowing us to grow much faster than sitting around for months or years trying to build what we'd have assumed was the right product. Now, I want to be clear here. you should be making mistakes. If you play the safe card every time, you'll likely lose. You have to take risk on some level. That's just part of the game. I think most entrepreneurs are actually risk averse. Most of us are not adrenaline junkies that do insane things just for fun. We take on risk because it's a necessary evil and we're willing to do it on some levels that others aren't. But what you should do is look for ways to mitigate that risk. Learn from other entrepreneurs and figure out how to avoid overly risky moves and focus on risk that has the proper balance of potential reward. Take smart risks and they won't all turn out to be mistakes. So what are some mistakes that you've made as you've built your business? Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear it. josh@bearmetrics.com. Hit me up on Twitter @Spigford. That's S-H-P-I-G-F-O-R-D. Or on the Bear Metrics blog, bearmetrics.com/blog. bearmetrics.com/blog. And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Hopefully it won't be like 3 more months until the next one. If you liked this or if you hated it, leave a review on iTunes. That helps a ton. And if you have a subscription business and want some solid insights, check out Bearmetrics at bearmetrics.com. Thanks for listening. And that is all for this time. The end.